The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And a very good morning to you. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Donal Kavanagh with you on the show this morning until 12 noon. It's Monday, it's the 27th of February. And it's a chilly enough morning, but hey, it stayed dry. So if you were out walking this morning, it was a nice morning for a walk. And if you're thinking of going out, well, it's still nice out there at the moment. So get on those walking shoes and out you go. It'll do us all good. We start with the newspapers as always. But before we go there, let's just talk about contacting the show, because as we always say, we have a long programme lined up for you today with a lot of very interesting items. But most importantly, this show is here to take your views, listen to your opinions and listen to your perspectives on the events of the day, both in the Northwest and further afield. If you want to call us, you can do so on 074-912-5000. Donna Marie is producing and taking your calls. Anya taking your calls outside as well. You can also text or WhatsApp us on 086-6025000. You can contact us via social media. It's at Highland Hub on Facebook. It's at Highland Radio on Twitter. We're also on Instagram and Snapchat and all the others. You can watch the show live, by the way, on our Facebook pages and also on our Highland Radio Ireland YouTube channel as well. So if you want to watch the programme, you can do so. And a very good morning to all of you who are watching today. We begin, as I said, with the papers. It's a Monday, which means we have the Monday edition of the Donegal News. Main story, star-studded concert marks 50 years of Ornigy. 300 guests attend a celebration at Ireland Gwydor to celebrate Radio na Gaeltachta's 50 years on the air, and congratulations to them. They provide a great service for the Gaeltacht parts of the county. They had the cream of the crop in a Kilgaelic from Donegal, Tyrone, Derry and Belfast as well. Lovely picture of Alton and Nimuni on stage in Gwydor there. Also on the front of the Donegal News, a story we are going to return to a little bit later in the programme, and that is the story of Falkara Hospital to get an upgrade. Refurbishment work that will bring the hospital to 100% capacity will begin before the summer. The HSE has published its tender documents. A section of the unit's actually been closed since early last year because of the condition of the building. So good news there in Falkara. That work set to begin later this year. We'll, as I say, be returning to that a little later on and speaking to one of the local councillors in that area. Derry News this morning. Zero Waste Northwest withdraws support from council. The Zero Waste Northwest organisation has withdrawn its endorsement of Derry City and St Albans District Council's Zero Waste City Region status. The organisation says it lost confidence in any real ambition on the part of the council to become a zero waste city. However, the group hasn't closed the door to the possibility of a real partnership between the council and itself in the future. And also 50 years in show business, Felix Healy makes a presentation to Willie Barrett to mark his 50th year in show business at a celebration function held in the Abercorn Bar in Derry. And that story covered in the Derry News as well. Moving on to the Nationals, Irish Independent. Former Taoiseach Enda Kenny on the mend after cancer op. He's in robust good health and well on the road to a full recovery, we're told. And that's Enda Kenny, their big photograph. Also on the front of the paper, the great fixed rate mortgage cliff edge. Borrowers warned they could face repayment hikes of €500 a month following spiralling interest rates. Thousands of homeowners, Charlie Weston writes, coming to the end of fixed rate mortgages, have been warned they face hikes of almost €500 in their monthly repayments. Around 50,000 homeowners will roll off fixed rates in the next 3 years. Those who had their rates fixed at 2.5% over 5 years could now be facing a 5.9% interest rate instead. Front of the paper also has that horrific story that we saw over the weekend. Children among dead as nearly 60 migrants perish in Italy shipwreck. Almost 60 people, including children, died after a boat carrying around 150 migrants crashed into rocks in rough seas off the southern Italian coast. Front of the Irish Times this morning. Sunak to sign NI protocol deal with EU. You've been hearing the story with Michaela on news all morning, of course, and over the weekend with Jade as well. The British Prime Minister is expected to seek cabinet approval and make a statement with regards to a deal with the EU on the protocol. The focus now shifts to Donaldson's reaction and the potential restoration of power sharing. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and the President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, will meet in the UK today with a view towards signing that new agreement on the Northern Ireland Protocol. It follows months of negotiations, but everyone is warning, while we're close, we haven't signed on the dotted line yet, and there's many a slip twixt cup and lip, and nowhere is that phrase more appropriate than in Northern Ireland and when it comes to discussions on things like the protocol. Also, a really stunning photograph on the front of the Times. A photograph of breeding frogs taken in the Dublin mountains. Rana temporaria, or the common frog, is Ireland's only native species of frog. They breed in early spring. Now, I have to confess, I am looking at that picture this morning, and I suspect some other people of a certain age, same age as me, maybe 50 plus, shall we say, we're all doing the same thing in our heads. We're all going, bum, 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 bum. And Donna Marie is looking at me, because she is a rather younger person than I am. Donna Marie's looking at me going, what is he doing? Donna Marie, trust me, anyone over 50 knows exactly what that means. I'll tell you later, I promise. Anya's looking at me weirdly as well, for exactly the same reason. Because, do you know what, Anya? It's probably true that Anya's and Donna Marie's age combined still doesn't come close to mine. That's the truth of it. Irish Daily Mail this morning. Relief for renters as vacant properties targeted. Measures designed to avoid a cliff edge on homelessness as eviction ban set to be ended. New measures to protect renters are being planned by the government amid fears that thousands could face homelessness if the eviction ban is lifted. Christian McCashin writes, the moratorium on evictions is due to lapse at the end of March, and while the government hasn't yet decided if it'll be extended, a range of measures are being explored to avoid a cliff edge scenario. Now, we know at Donegal County Council level locally, certainly, the council has been looking at this whole issue of vacant properties and how vacant properties can be used for homing people. And indeed, Letterkenny Municipal District, Letterkenny Milford Municipal District recently had a very lengthy discussion about the fact that the area, and in particular the town, now qualifies for this latest round of urban development funding, and there's a big emphasis there on vacancy and dereliction, and taking vacant and derelict homes and buildings and bringing those back into use, so that there is a huge push on this both locally and nationally, it seems, as well. And I know certainly Donegal County Council over the course of the past year, there hasn't been, I would comfortably say, there hasn't been a plenary meeting of Donegal County Council that issues of vacant buildings and dereliction and housing have not been raised. And obviously there is an added dimension to the whole housing issue in Donegal, because of course, we now have the prospect over the next 5 years plus, and probably 5 years and quite a few years added on to that, we'll have the prospect of defective block homes being demolished and rebuilt, and people having to live in alternative accommodation while their homes are being demolished and rebuilt or being restored to their proper. And I think in most cases, it now appears, if we're to be realistic, it now does appear that in most cases it is going to be demolition and rebuilding. So we have that added dimension to the housing issue here, that as well as your standard level of people who are homeless, you also have people who are going to need temporary accommodation because of the circumstances they find themselves in. And that's an ongoing debate and discussion. Modular homes, one of the issues being discussed, of course. Whether that's going to come to anything remains to be seen. But right at this point in time, the government does seem to be blowing cold on that particular idea. But I know a lot of councillors locally are keeping up that pressure. Let's move on to the Irish Daily Mirror. Pals pay tribute. Stabbed teen loses fight for life. Tributes have been paid to a teenager who died last night following an alleged knife attack. Marius Mamalagia, apologies for that pronunciation, by the way, passed away 3 days after suffering a neck wound in a car in County Dublin. Pals raised over €10,500 for his family. And that's the front of the Irish Daily Mirror. The same story is on the front of the Irish Daily Star. Forever in our hearts, one of the phrases on that post put up by friends of Marius after they raised over €10,500 for his family. One friend said, he will be forever in our hearts. Also on the front of the Irish Daily Star, a really horrible, horrible story. Find the callous mob who drowned my dogs. A distraught man has spoken out of his heartbreak after sick thugs drowned his two pet dogs in a barrel during a burglary at his home. Kieran Gunnar Cunningham said he wants the evil burglars to face justice for the callous killing of his two pets, Penny and Poppy. It happened at his home in Ardfinnan in County Tipperary on February 11th. And that is indeed a horrendous story. Let's look at the front of the Irish Sun. A Cork woman in spy claim unmasked Russian agent in Dole. A picture of an Irish citizen who's been accused of being a Russian spy by Australian officials. Marina Sologub, 39, who worked in the Dole, is being booted out of Australia following a security operation by intelligence chiefs down under. Former Fine Gael TD Bernard Allen, for whom she worked, said, "I am gobsmacked." Taoiseach Micheál Martin has revealed that she is seeking Irish consular help. That's the story of Marina Sologub, who previously worked in the Dole and is now, it appears, being treated as a potential Russian agent by the Australians and is being kicked out of that country. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Just some of your comments, texts and queries that have been coming in. I got a text message from ESB saying I was eligible for a discounted electricity under the energy support scheme. You can apply here. And then there was a link. I opened it and it showed a government.ie page. I then started to fill it in until they asked for my bank details. That's when I got suspicious. I'm wondering if that's a scam and if any of your listeners got that text. Now, I'm not aware of that particular one, Paula. It does sound a bit suspicious. And I'll tell you the reason I say that. Because to my mind, if someone is offering you discounted electricity, surely the first thing that they're going to either ask for or give to you is your account number. Now, I mean your account number with your provider. So to my mind, if someone is offering you a discount with the ESB, my thought on it would be that, you know, your ESB, or be it whatever provider, be you Energia or Bord Gáis or whichever provider you're with, I would have thought they would, number one, know that, and number two, they would ask you for your account number. If they're asking straight for your bank account details without anything else, that does sound fishy to me. But what I would do is I would contact your electricity provider, whoever that may happen to be, and run it by them. It may be genuine, and certainly if there's an opportunity to get some sort of a deal, I wouldn't give it up, but it does... there is a distinct whiff of mackerel of that one to me, but I am naturally suspicious of that sort of stuff. And I know I've actually missed on messages because I refuse to open anything that I do not know what it is. And I have actually missed genuine messages from friends as a result. But I would always play the better safe than sorry game. And if I am not familiar with the item in question, I will not open it. I'm going to go to Aidan on line one. Aidan, good morning to you.
How are you doing?
Aidan, your son has Asperger's and is reliant on Bus Éireann to get around, but there are inconsistencies in the service that are causing problems.
That's right, yeah. My son currently attends the National Learning Network Employability Skills Programme in Letterkenny. He's dependent on getting a bus. We live rurally. And the only way for him really to attend his education is to be reliant on a bus service. As you've mentioned there, he has Asperger's, which means he finds it extremely difficult to be in crowds. He finds it very, very difficult as well to deal with uncertainty. So what he's been faced with is proven extremely challenging to him. I suppose if we go back to September of last year when he started with National Learning Network, I would have, because of this was such a big step for him, literally until that point, he would have been getting a minibus from his home, taking him to school, and the minibus would have been taking him back. So all of this idea of going, getting a bus, was a completely new thing to him. So for a few times, I would have went on the bus journey with him, in order, you know, that he knew what he had to do. And on all of them occasions, the bus was so late, it was ridiculous. We're talking about a bus that's meant to leave at 3:30, that never left at the earliest point before 3:45, and frequently, consistently past that time. And really, we found that the only way to deal with this was that I needed to organise alternative arrangements for my son.
Yeah.
That worked. That worked for up until about a week or so ago, and really it became clear that he needed to be attending a longer period of training, which meant that he needed to get this 3:30 bus home. And on the first day, which was Monday there last week, the bus didn't leave until 4:00. And on Tuesday, the 3:30 bus left Letterkenny at 4:30. And you can imagine the distress that my son was going through. You know, not knowing when the bus was going, he was dependent on getting a lift as well from where the bus would drop him off as well. So it just presented him with an awful lot of anxiety.
Yeah. I can give you, we put your case to Bus Éireann, and we do have a statement from them in, and the statement just says, and I'll read this for you. Bus Éireann fully appreciates the importance of reliable bus service to all passengers and apologises to customers where this is not delivered. We recognise that uncertainty around departure times can be stressful. Through the month of January, fewer than 20% of services on the route in question were delayed. However, there have been particular issues around the afternoon services, which are impacted by the extensive roadworks around Letterkenny. This is unfortunately not always predictable and is outside Bus Éireann's control and is likely to continue for a number of months. In relation to any other delays, that should not happen, and we encourage customers to contact us in the event that such issues arise. When provided with specific dates and times, we can address such matters as they arise, and then details of contacting, and I'm sure you have the details of contacting the customer supports and the complaint lines and so on. So effectively what they're saying is this is all down to, and we know there have been big roadworks on the four lane route going into the town at the moment, and that has been causing issues. Is that do you accept that excuse, or do you think that's just something Bus Éireann is using as a handy excuse?
Absolutely claptrap is my answer to that. First of all, the bus is consistently late. The bus has never arrived on time. The bus actually has been at the bus depot. This is the thing. The bus has been on site at the bus depot well before 3:30. So for Bus Éireann to suggest that maybe it hasn't arrived at the bus depot is a complete fiction, an absolute lie.
In fairness, Aidan, I cannot stand over that word. In fairness, we have read a statement from the company. I would rather not stand over that word, if you don't mind. So I would ask you to withdraw that particular word, please.
I would point out my observation
that's been consistently late.
Mm-hmm. The next thing is the bus is not late due to have not arriving on time. And the third point being that the inconsistency of this bus service has implications for a lot of people. For example, for my son, if this continues, I can see him giving up his education.
And that is the last thing anybody wants. Aidan, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
You're very welcome.
People will hear what you've had to say. Hopefully Bus Éireann are going to pay attention to this as well, and they will take a look at what's actually been happening with regards to the situation on that particular
route. Thank
you very much indeed. Just looking at some of your comments before we move on. Yeah, another caller actually has come in saying, I got a text scam from someone pretending to be the ESB. I rang them to check it out. So if you're in doubt, just ring them up. Absolutely, I would say that. Caller says, Donal, I'm 47. The song was The Frog Chorus by Paul McCartney. It absolutely was, Caller. Well done. I absolutely love that piece of music. I have to be honest, and a lot of people will look at me very askance for this. If I were to sit down and do a list of my top five favourite songs that Paul McCartney has recorded, certainly as a solo artist, The Frog Chorus is absolutely up there in the top five, if not the top three. When it comes to the Beatles, it would be a little bit lower down, in fairness. But no, when it comes to Paul McCartney, The Frog Chorus, absolutely love it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look up Paul McCartney Frog Chorus on YouTube. An absolutely wonderful piece. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Now, let's move on. We didn't get Deputy Eoin O'Brien, but we can go to a different deputy. Joining us on line one, Deputy Thomas Pringle. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Donald. How are you?
Very well indeed. In the Dáil recently, Deputy Pringle, and you can hear this recording on our website, highlandradio.com, you have been reading the statements from some mother and baby home survivors into the Dáil Record, and you're expressing grave concern that once again promises of redress are going to be delayed and cans are going to be kicked down the road and survivors are going to be left hanging in limbo.
Yeah, I think it's shocking, Donal, how the government has handled this whole redress scheme in relation to the mother and baby home survivors, where they have seemingly picked this arbitrary 6 months cut-off point, where basically if you had been in a mother and baby home up to 5 months and 30 days old, you wouldn't be entitled to redress, whereas if you were there till you were 6 months old, you are entitled to redress. And it seems to be only a rather brutal way of trying to save money that the state is doing, because we can't get any answers from the department as to why they've come up with this figure or what the rationale for arriving at this figure was. So it seems that it is only to try and save money, and that seems to be the only way. And it's just shocking that continuously the abuse of the mother baby home survivors continues on, and the state continues to do it. And I do believe that we probably will have to be back addressing this again and making compensation claims available to everybody, right, regardless of how long they spent in the nursing home.
Now, I know you did back opposition moves last week to actually have that time limit scrapped and to have the process sped up. We heard a very, very interesting testimony in the Dáil, actually, from Deputy Richard Boyd-Barrett, who himself was adopted and himself is one of those who went through that system as a baby. So he was able to give his own very personal perspective. But the fact that you then read into the record the testimony of many of the mothers, as well as some of the children, that added another dimension to that debate that did need to be heard.
Yeah, I think it was very important that I do that, because we were receiving a lot of contacts from people who had gone through mother and baby homes and given their own personal testimonies, and they wanted to have their voices heard, and they wanted to know that they were being listened to, and so the state wasn't interested. So I thought it was important to put that on the record, and you know, and some of them were quite harrowing, the stories as well, and you know, and I think it's important that those will be on the record, so that we know what we're dealing with, and we know that the people that the state is targeting and being so doing such a wrong to again, and that's the thing that's really mind-boggling about this, is how the state decided to do this again. But I think it's probably symptomatic of that, when you have a state that decides everything on value and money is the value of every wrong and everything that the state does, well then this is what you get.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to get ludicrous, sort of too semantic on words with you, but there was one phrase that you sort of said sent a chill up your spine, and that phrase was that the government will act and put measures in place as soon as is practicable. Now, one of the things with that phrase is many people sort of confuse the words practicable and practical. And now they are actually two very different words. Practical means whenever it's convenient. Practicable means whenever it's possible. Now, you seem to be suggesting that the government is using the word practicable, but what it actually means is practical.
Well, it'd be nice if it didn't mean practical, but I think the government is a way of putting it on the long finger. And, you know, and people's understanding, like the minister is adamant that the government is intent on moving quickly and solving all these issues, but the wording and the legislation doesn't provide for that. You know, and if he was intent on doing this, he would have had no problem with putting in a time frame that the opposition was proposing, that they would deal with it within a set period of time, whatever that would be. But that's not there, and that wording and the legislation allows it to be basically how long it's been string, and what the government decides is practical, is not, as it could be 10 years from now as well, like, you know, and that's the worrying thing, and that's the thing that shows that the wrong is going to continue on, and that has been done to people.
It sort of begs the question, has nothing been learned from some previous schemes? Yeah. Because when you look right back to Bridget McCall and the hepatitis scandal and things like that, it appears that history is repeating itself in a way that one would have thought surely someone, be it in the political government or in the permanent civil service government, has learned from the past.
No, I think the only thing they've learned is that they want to cut down the amount of money that's being paid out, and they want to make it more difficult for people to get compensation for. Well, you know, and it's where the state has completely wronged people and done terrible things, and it's about the state being responsible and making sure that the people know that the state is responsible for this. And you know, if you combine what was happening in this legislation with what the Taoiseach has been saying over the last couple of weeks, you know, that it's a choice between we pay for this stuff or we pay for childcare now at the minute, or we pay for the health services now at the moment. You know, the reality is that the state did this. The state has to pay for it, because that's the only way that the state actually recognises that it has done any wrong. And it's not a question of either or, it's a question of that we have to do both.
Do you believe the government is trying to kick this into touch until after the next election?
Yeah. I think the government is trying to kick this into touch until some other government can deal with it. And it might even be the same government again that will deal with it, but they don't care about that. It's just it's a short-term thinking and short-term working, you know. And it means that we'll have to constantly come back and revisit these issues again in the future. And that's not fair on the people that have had suffered for so many years through it. And indeed, it's not fair on the citizens that are here now as well, that are living under a new system, a supposedly new system, where this wouldn't happen. But it's not fair on them either, that it continuously has to be addressed.
Another issue that you have been addressing in the Dáil in recent days is that of the eviction ban. That ban is due to end in the coming weeks. There are strong calls, which I believe you are supporting, to have that eviction ban extended. We're reading this morning in papers that the government is now looking at utilising vacant homes as a potential answer to the housing crisis. You, I take it, wouldn't have too much confidence in that strategy.
No, look, I mean, vacant homes have been there for an awful long time, and the government has been talking for a long time about trying to do something with them. Now it's going to be the solution to the eviction ban. And vacant homes, how are they going to actually take control of them to have people who are being evicted move into them? I don't see how that's going to work. The eviction ban is a necessary tool in the crisis that we have at the moment. And I don't think anybody would envisage that it being a permanent ban or anything like that there, but it is necessary. And, you know, because people are being evicted into homelessness, and it's happening right across the country. We now have 1,400 children living in homeless across the country. And that figure has been consistent. It's gone up slightly over the last couple of years, but some of those children have moved out of homelessness and other children come in. So it's actually probably maybe 4,000 or 5,000 children that have been homeless at some period over the last 3 or 4 years. And that's shocking figures. And we can't allow that to continue. And unfortunately, the only thing we can do is at the moment is make sure that there's no eviction ban, and make sure that people, that families aren't evicted into homelessness. I think that has to be the greater good at the minute, and that has to be worked on and pursued actively by the government. But I don't think the government are going to do that.
And as we've said, an added dimension to the housing question in this county, as you yourself have indeed reflected in recent speeches in the Dáil, the demolition and reconstruction of homes affected by defective blocks means there's going to be a lot of people looking for temporary accommodation, and that's going to put an extra pressure on the housing market and presumably the rental market as well here in Donegal.
Yeah, that's right. And it's going to make it even more difficult. And indeed, maybe a lot of the houses that may be available as second or as rental properties would be affected by Mica as well, you know, so they wouldn't be available either. Like, you know, and this is going to be a huge problem. And I think the council should be a lot more proactive and should be actually at the stage now of identifying sites for temporary housing, I can't remember the name now, but the modular housing should be identified now, because that's what we're going to have in the future to ensure that there's enough houses repaired and that people will have somewhere to live while their houses are being repaired. And I think that system could be used quite successfully if they get down the road now and actually identify sites and make sure that those sites are serviced with water, sewage and electricity, so that when the modular homes come, that they'll actually can move in very quickly, because that's the delay, I think, in a lot of the modular sites, is that the services aren't there and aren't ready for the modular homes when they come in. And it's the only option that we have at the minute, because where are the families going to go at the moment who are going to be evicted or moved out of Mica homes when they're being repaired? Because the reality is, like, if we're going to deal with this Mica issue, we're going to have to be repairing a lot more houses annually than have been done at the moment.
Yeah.
And even if we repair 200 houses a year, we're still going to be at least 15 years dealing with the Mica issue. You know, so we have to do something and we have to be preparing to do something. And unfortunately, I don't think that Donegal County Council are actually doing that. I think they're waiting for the department to tell them that they want to go with a modular housing option and then provide money for them to do it. And then the council then will start the ball rolling on it, which will be mean that they'll be lose another year and a half, 2 years.
But in fairness to the council, I mean, I think there's potentially an argument to say the council is really stuck between a rock and a hard place, because on the one hand, the council is being told by government, implement this scheme, you manage it, you run it, you do everything that needs to be done. But the government at the same time is limiting the amount of money it's giving to the council. And if the council isn't being given money by the government to progress the modular homes idea, the council is going to have to take that money from other areas, from its own housing budgets, from its own roads budgets or whatever. And then the council's going to be falling short when people start demanding, where's our services?
Yeah, but then the council can make the case to the government that this is what's happening. And, you know, but the problem is that the council sits on its hands waiting for the government to decide that they're going to actually do something on it. Too much time is going to be lost.
So you believe Donegal County Council should effectively take the lead and use its own resources to start on the modular homes and then try and claim that money back from government?
Well, at least start preparing the site.
Yeah.
So that when the modular homes are actually... The problem is, like, the government can decide tomorrow, oh, yeah, well, you can have the modular homes. But the problem is that the sites have to be prepared. And, you know, from the point of the government saying it to the actual sites being purchased, sites being prepared, you know, water, sewage, electricity and everything put in, you're looking at probably a year and a half before all that's in place, before actual modular homes will actually go on site and people can be ready to move into them. Now, and that's unfortunately, I think, is the reality of the situation. Now, there may be land that the council owns already that's available and they can start working on, but I think they should be doing the groundwork now to make sure that when the government actually gets their act together and makes a decision in relation to modular homes, that the council are in a position to deal with that and respond very quickly.
Deputy Thomas Pringle, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Thanks, Owen. Cheers.
Thank you indeed. Deputy Thomas Springer there. Just a call from a person saying, redress should be for everyone. Shame on our government. Another caller, we were speaking about the potential of scams. Caller says, please warn the public there are fake 50 euro notes in circulation at the moment. We are a charity. We just found one in one of our collection areas. So fake 50 euro notes in circulation at present. Please do be aware of it. You will recall over the past few weeks there's been a lot of discussion about pedestrian crossings in the Ballybofey area, one in particular close to Glenfinn Street in Ballybofey. We've had a note from a man saying, I was approaching that road and there was a man crossing quickly in grey-black attire on a black-and-white crossing. He was very difficult to see. This is an accident waiting to happen. The crossings need to be lit to save lives and injuries. Now, we know there is a pilot programme with these crossings that don't have lights attached to them, and that's happening around the country. Now, it seems from chatting particularly to Councillor Patrick McGowan in the Finn Valley area, that what's happening is there are pilot areas in, I think if I recall, it's Limerick, Dublin and Ballybofey and Stranorra. But what they're doing is they're doing different things in each so they can assess and compare and contrast. So they have big signage before the crossings in Limerick, but they don't have signage in Donegal, and they don't have lights on the ones in Donegal. And certainly from what this caller is saying, a person sees the road marked out as a pedestrian crossing and may well assume, I can absolutely cross here with impunity, this is a crossing and people will know it's a crossing. The motorist approaching the crossing either doesn't know there's a crossing there because there's not enough signage, but also, you know, can't see the person because you've got a person dressed in grey dark clothing on a black and white marked crossing that doesn't have any lights on it. So that is, as our caller says, an accident waiting to happen. And thanks indeed for the call. And please do be aware on those crossings. Now, just got a note saying the road from Convoy to Rafoe is very slippy, especially on corners. Now, I don't know if that's to do with frost or if it's to do with something else. But please, if you're travelling on that road between Rafoe and Convoy, very slippy, we're told, particularly on the corners. And please do be careful. By the way, if you're in West Donegal or around about the Fannad area or even close to Tory, I was looking at my Facebook page this morning and all I could see all over Facebook and social media was pictures of the Northern Lights. It seems they were amazing. scenes of the Northern Lights, particularly around West Donegal and presumably up around the Fannet area as well. Some lovely shots I saw taken by Maria, a friend of mine, in Loch Salt, and some great shots taken by Trevor and by Lisa and by Carlin and others out in West Donegal as well, around about Gwydor and the Rosses. Really amazing. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on, but the Northern Lights, by all accounts last night, really looked phenomenal. Now, we said during the paper review that Fulcara Hospital is to get its upgrade. It's been awaiting that since last year. Part of the nursing unit is now effectively closed because the building isn't fit for purpose. Joined on the line by Councillor Michael McClafferty from the area. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Donal. Good morning, listeners.
Michael, good news from your point of view. Long awaited for this to be announced and to happen.
Great news, Donal. Long awaited, yes. Long awaited also for the community, the staff alike there, the manager and everything else in the home there. I think going forward it's going to be great when it is started and it gets finished there. As Article states there, going by the towards the end of the year, it should be completed as the plan, and hopefully that plan all carries through plain sailing this time, to be fair. But I think as well here, Donal, on the bigger picture as well, this is going to help a lot. You're going to have 20 plus beds and so on there, that patients are going to be able to get in there, both between temporary and respite and so on. Yeah. That wasn't happening now this last number of years. And I think this will be a great asset as well to help the likes of Letterkenny Hospital or possibly elsewhere, or even indeed just people with loved ones at home that are struggling to manage on their own, alongside the home helps and everything else.
And it is important for that reason. Yeah, it's important for that reason, because as we always know, that one of the biggest challenges that Letterkenny University Hospital and other hospitals are facing, and that was acknowledged by the Health Minister when he was on with Greg on the show some time ago, that one of the biggest challenges is actually discharging people and knowing that you can discharge someone from the acute hospital into an appropriate setting. And if they don't have the appropriate setting at home, then you're going to need some form of community respite setting, temporary bed in the community hospital, and the more they can be provided in places like Fulcara, that's the quicker people can leave Letterkenny University Hospital, and it's a win-win situation. It gets them closer to home, it gets them closer to their families, it gets them in a setting where hopefully they'll be more comfortable and their recovery will be better assisted, and it gives the hospital more scope to bring new people into acute beds to give them the treatment they need. So this could potentially be, and should potentially be, a win-win situation for all.
100%, like I say, when this is completed now, it should one-on-one situation, definitely a game changer, such total game changer for at least 20 odd patients, whoever they may be at the time, and that's all to be welcomed, because there at the moment, Letterkenny Hospital is totally jammed up there at the moment. The staff are under pressure, the hospital's under pressure. There's big delays there, I'm hearing, in the last couple of weeks of getting the patients and so on. There's not enough staff there, just the facilities are not there to deal with everything. And it is, when you see the likes of us here now, I suppose until this is opened again now towards the end of the year, start of 2024, probably only then alone will we see the benefits of this type of situation here that Fulcara is going to experience now going forward. And indeed anywhere else, Donal, as well, similar type situations that are in, there or thereabouts, sitting in the same kind of hovering pattern here. The HSE need to just do what they can, hurry up and get them sorted, because at the end of the day, we're here in Donegal, and know they always say we're the forgotten county, but we are the forgotten county, because all we're looking for, we're not looking for anything extra, we're only looking for a fair share and a fair slice of the cake. And what's happening here at the minute in Fulcara, all they're doing, they're getting their slice of the cake at the minute that they should have got long ago. I appreciate, okay, COVID did knock a lot of things in the head, and certainly did disrupt things there, to be fair, and we all accept that, but COVID's what is. It's not gone away, but we're living alongside it. Yep. And I think just in general, we need to move on forward and get things done where possible and just stop the red tape stuff and everything else that seems to be cropping up from time to time. Yep. We don't need it. It's not welcome. We don't need it. For example, we're sitting here as well, almost, what is it? I think it's around eight years now, speak at the minute here, Donald. So we talked first, spoke to yourself, I believe, before about it. The health centre in Navani. We're still nowhere near hand on a health centre, primary care centre, the built in Navani. Again, whenever time, if and when this gets built in Navani, that's going to be another game changer. But at the moment, sadly, we're sitting 8 years later. Just got an email there the last day, a standard email there on Thursday, it was there. Talks are ongoing this last 8 years. Yeah. Talks are ongoing since the night that Dr. Stewart stood up on a holiday in Navani requesting help. I mean, talks are ongoing since that. It's no different to Volkiara home here. Talks are ongoing there too. How much talking do they need to do to get things, somebody to sign off and get things moving? Like, and I think right across the board from Volkiara home, the primary care centre in Dunfanaghy, to get that hurried up and hopefully, touch wood, hopefully it will come to pass eventually, although I'm sceptical at the minute, the amount of time that it's taking Letherkenny Hospital. We need to get things signed off on quicker, and the HSE need to release that. Yeah. And as well as that, the HSE need to listen as well, both to the patients, to the families, to the people on the ground, Donald. Take from them what's going on. Hear the experience of what's going on. To be fair, no matter manager in the hospital or manager wherever, they can't be looking at everything 24-7. That's impossible. We all appreciate that. But when they can't do that, they need to be listening to the families. Even if there's a suggestion box outside the door in the ward, throw in your suggestions if you're not comfortable going talking to a manager. And as I said to Donna Marie there before, just when she was phoning back to go on with you two, I would appeal to people, appeal to families. I know it's difficult situations when you have somebody sick in the house at the moment or somebody sick in hospital, but I would say to them, please, if you're having bad experiences, as I'm hearing the last number of weeks, as my fellow colleagues are as well, and the fellow councillors are as well at different times, please lift the phone, send a text, write a letter, send an email to yourselves there in Highland Radio or whatever to get the word out, because until we get the word out, people's not going to know what's going on here. And when people don't know, nothing's going to change. And I think that's the big thing. We have to beat on the drums, bang on them drums, till we get Donegal up to scratch here in our health service.
Well, certainly when it comes to Volkiara, the government doesn't necessarily need to be told what the situation is by families, because HICWA, its own agency, the quality authority for the health service, has made it quite clear after its last inspection in Volkiara that the premises is not up to scratch and it needs to be upgraded. And we've seen plans published by the HSC to upgrade those areas. Indeed, we know part of the premises as it stands at the moment is now unusable and is sealed off because it can't be used. And that's been the situation now for the guts of a year and possibly more. So it isn't as though the government needs to be told by the families or by the councillors like yourself. The government has its own quality agency telling it exactly what the problem is.
Yeah, 100% don't have, yes. The likes of Volkiara, yes, okay, that's what happened there. But there is other things going on here through our health service at the minute that's not getting out there as such. And that's the things we need to get out there, because until everything's out there, until all the washing's out there, like, nothing's going to get sorted. Like, for example, there's clearly, Donald, to be fair, many, many problems at the minute with the Kinney Hospital there, whatever they may be. No, I'm not picking anybody here, but I'm just saying whatever they may be. And that's where you need the government then to step in. Step in there, for example, send in managers, see what's going on. If it's, obviously money's clearly going to be an issue. Give them more money, give them the resources, give them more staff. Whatever is wrong, get it sorted, because there's clearly a breakdown in the system there, and clearly our health system is breaking down as such, and that's just the way I see it from my point of view, Donald, anyway, at the moment.
And as you would argue, the health, you cannot sort of look at the health system and take one element of it in isolation. And maybe part of the problem is that we have a system which looks at individual projects, and you get funding for X, you get funding for Y, you get funding for Z, and X proceeds and Y doesn't, and Z is put on the long finger and A goes ahead. Whereas the actual truth is everything from A to Z is interconnected, and one development in one area impacts either positively or negatively on another. And sometimes you get the feeling you don't get joined up thinking. What you have is you have people thinking about hospitals, people thinking about GP practices, and people thinking about primary health centres, And sometimes they're in adjoining offices and it seems they're not talking.
Exactly, Donald. That seems to be the key here, and that seems to be the big problem I see a lot of the time and hear a lot of the time. It's just the joined up thinking is the problem here. And certainly, you say there, one office possibly not speaking to the other office, and indeed that is the case. I know that for a fact. I'll call a spade. That's what actually is happening in some cases. And that's what needs to be ruled out going forward. Like, these things need to be clarified going forward. They need to get talking. They need to find a different model than what they have at the minute as such.
Yeah.
Because clearly there's a lot of things not just materialising as they should at the minute, to be fair about it. As I say, look, everybody in the health service, the workers and the frontliners, they are doing their best. But again, it's the management, it's the voice at the top of the government need to take a long, hard look at things here and just realise we need to get common sense going here, because unfortunately, in some cases, that's not happening.
and certainly in terms of that hospital in Fallcarragh. Once this work is done, it'll open up more space. It'll get 20 plus more people able to go to Fallcarragh for that vital care, be it respite care or be it in step-down beds from the acute hospital. I know certainly last week we were in the newsroom looking at latest figures from HICWA, and one of the hospitals covered in those was the community hospital in Carndonagh, which is due for some major works. And I noticed on its figures, the hospital, the actual number of people in the hospital at the time of the last inspection was about 20 less than its actual capacity. So hopefully, you know, if you could get 20 more people into Carn, get 20 more people into Fallcarragh, that's an extra 40. If you can get the long-awaited community hospital built in Letterkenny, just below the current Little Angels school site there, between Little Angels and St Connell's, if you can get that community hospital up, you're talking close to 100 more beds, plus, you know, some of which will be respite and step-down. So, you know, the more you can provide in the community, and then, as you say, if you can start looking at your health centres like the one, the Long, and you're correct. I mean, I think the very first conversation we had was when you were campaigning about the dispensary in Dunfanaghy. That's the first conversation I recall having with you. And that was, as you say, quite a while ago. You know, if you can get those sorted, then they too will take the pressure off the acute hospital. And if you can take the pressure off the acute hospital, then hopefully that will mean the treatment and the experience in that hospital will improve, and it'll be to everybody's benefit. Councillor Michael McLaverty, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. We'll take this as a piece of good news for Fallcarragh, and hopefully that work will be progressed speedily. In the meantime, Michael, thanks very much indeed.